And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, Jesus, was deity. That means he was not humanity at that point. But we see that deity became humanity as he became flesh. Paul states it this way in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Who's Paul talking about? Who is that that did all of these things? Same one who is the Word that became flesh. Paul also wrote in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, counted not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even to the death on the cross. God with us. The Word became flesh. Can you really wrap your mind around this? I struggle with it. That's pretty deep for somebody like me. And yet I believe it. God said it, and I believe it. And we all need to do likewise. Why? A frequently used question. One word. Why? Well, why in this instance did the Word, the Son, the only begotten Son, take upon himself flesh and come into this world to live like you and I are living? Well, I think we can answer it somewhat at least by using three R words. Why did he do this? One reason is for revelation. To reveal God to us. Secondly, he did it for reconciliation, to reconcile us to God. And thirdly, for representation, so that he could represent us to God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us for revelation, to show us what God is like. It wasn't to reveal us to God, but Him to us, to show us what God is like. Do you remember back in John chapter 1, verse 18, John declares that no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Son has made known the Father. He says, look at me, and you'll see the Father. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us for one thing at least, and that is to reveal God to man. Paul talks about it again in Colossians 1, verse 15. He says of Christ that he became the image of the invisible God. In other words, Paul says that Christ became the one who makes God seeable, if you will. I don't think that word is in your dictionary, but it's meaningful to me. God has never been seen by anybody. And you and I are in that same boat. We cannot see God. He's invisible. But in another sense, he became visible, if you will, when the Word became flesh and revealed him to us, the image of the invisible God. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 3 says that Christ became the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person. The express image. To look upon Christ is to look upon God. They have different personalities, but yet they are the same. And Jesus became that express image of the Father. So we see then that the Word became flesh to reveal God to us. And secondly, the Word became flesh and dwelt among mankind to reconcile man to God. To reconcile means to make friends again or to restore to a right relationship. Well, what happened to our relationship that it needs to be restored? Adam and Eve were created in 100% purity. But that didn't last very long, did it? You and I were born in 100% purity. That lasted a few years. And then bad things started happening. We all began doing what was wrong instead of what was right. There's another word for that, isn't it? Sin. And sin separated us and the rest of mankind from God the Father. And the Son came in the flesh to reconcile us to the Father, to get us past this separation because of our sins. We needed a Savior, and He filled the bill perfectly for us. As strange as it may sound to us, Jesus became man so that He could die. That was His purpose, was to die. But we see Jesus in Hebrews 2, verse 9, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He might taste death for everyone. That was why He came. That's why He took upon Himself humanity. It was for our benefit, certainly not His. He had been right there at the right hand of the throne of the Father. He was a part of God. And He gave it all up because of us. When we see what took place in Gethsemane, all of the misery which our Lord endured there, and the tears that He shed because of the immensity of the occasion, and when we think about the cross and the despair that He, almost despair, that He confesses there, "Oh, my Father, why have You forsaken Me?" When we see and hear all of that, we need to cry out within ourselves, knowing that He died for us, cry out, "That's why He came. That's why he left heaven and came as a human being. That's why he was willing to go through the physical troubles that we experience, the trials and the tribulations and the temptations, just like everybody else, only without giving in to the temptation. But that's why he did all of this. That's why he died, that we might be saved through our reconciliation to God. And the third R, for why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, for representation. You and I both strongly need an intercessor. We need one who can reconcile us to God and bring about the forgiveness of all of our past sins. But more than that, we also need one who can bring about continually cleansing. We need one who can serve as a mediator for us, a go-between, one to present our case before the Almighty God of heaven. Listen to the writer of Hebrews as he speaks of Jesus in chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he was obligated to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. As a result of the Word becoming flesh, we have one who is a spokesman for us to the Father in our behalf. One who knows us individually by name. And he can plead our case. He can represent us faithfully and lovingly to the Father. Jesus, the Word, became flesh for representation. We find in all of this that Jesus totally submitted his will to the will of the Father. He came here to serve the Father, to do as he was instructed and taught by the Father. His purpose was to serve. Folks, this tells us what God and Christ are like. But it also tells us what the church is intended to be like. And it tells you and me what we as individual Christians are to be like. When we see what God is like, we see that God is love. And we see that love so amazing, so divine, demands our soul, our life, our all. That's why Jesus, as the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. As an expression of the love of God for us. Some of us are old enough that we can remember July 20th, 1969. Now we're racking our brain now enough. What was that that took place on July the 20th in 1969 of any particular significance? Well, I think you'll remember it as I call to your remembrance that was the day when people all across America and even other parts of the world were glued to their television sets. Something was about to take place that had hardly even been dreamed about, let alone had ever taken place. Man was on a mission to the moon. There's hardly ever been as much excitement in our country as there was that day. People were not only looking at television sets in their home, but everywhere out in the communities where there was a possibility. There were crowds of people around a TV set to see man set his foot on the surface of the moon. There was a TV reporter that interviewed a few people as they were waiting that great occasion. And he approached this young man and he asked him, "What do you think about this moon mission, about the idea of man going to set foot on the face of the moon?" The young man's response was this: "It's the greatest thing that's ever happened." Well, given all the circumstances, we can understand his excitement and why he might name this as the greatest thing that's ever happened. But it's not the greatest thing that ever happened. The greatest thing that ever happened was not that man walked on the face of the moon, but that the God of heaven sent his Son, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Every single one of us needs to let Jesus be our guide. We need to live in Christ, and we need to let Him live in us all day, every day. When that takes place, He will automatically, I'm kind of using an unscriptural term, I can't find that in the Bible, but I believe the essence is there, that will mean that we will automatically be approved of God when we've lived in keeping to the best of our ability to His will. We won't have to worry about eternity. We'll know where our eternity will be. If you're a Christian already, I want to urge you today to do your very best to live every day in gratitude for the fact that the Word did in fact become flesh and came here as a human being, and not as a God, not as an emperor, but as a servant. One willing to give His life for ours. If you're a Christian here today and you've become lax, you're unfaithful to the Lord. We're not here to condemn you. We're here to encourage you, to plead with you, to come back. God doesn't hold grudges. He is a forgiving God, and He wants you to repent of your unfaithfulness and come home to Him. Won't you do that? If you're not a Christian, you're living in sin. I don't mean to be condemning. I don't mean to be unkind. I tell you that out of love and concern for where you are at. You're still in your sins. But Jesus came, the Word came, to take away those sins. That's what it was all about. That was His mission, to seek and to save those who are lost. Won't you let Him save you from your sins today? In order for that to happen, you must believe that Jesus really is who he said he was, the Son of God. And you must confess your faith in him. And you must repent or turn away from your sins. Undergo a change of lifestyle. Not that you necessarily are now living a terribly wicked, immoral life, not at all. But if you're not a Christian, your life isn't what the Lord wants it to be. And so you must repent, make the needed changes. And in order for heaven to be your home, in order for you to become a Christian, you must have your sins washed away. And that's done in the act of baptism. Now, it's a symbolic thing. The baptistry here is not filled with people's sins. It's only a picture, if you will. The water is taking the place, in a sense, of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And so when you are immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, that takes you back to that blood that poured out from the body of Christ. The blood that dripped all over below that cross between the other two. Won't you do that? Won't you be immersed into Christ today? No, it doesn't put any stars in our crowns if you do. But we certainly care about you. God cares about you. Won't you come to him today? How about coming to him right now as we stand and sing?